Welcome one and all to another day, another week here at the Damage Board. I am John Iderola, and we've got utter chaos for you in a variety of forms, some of which you might already be suspecting based on the on-screen graphics. We are gonna be switching things up a little bit. We're doing a little test. Everybody hold, don't freak out. Don't freak out. We also are gonna be mixing up our co-host, JR, generally here on Wednesdays, joining us today. JR, thank you for being here.
What's going on, Iderola? I'm noticing things. I'm a little bit disturbed by them. All I know is I usually see the show on Wednesdays. Sorry, I don't watch usually on Mondays. But I'm noticing a different apparel change, maybe a little bit more booted, suited up, tied, a little bit more formal. Actually, as if you care more about a Monday when someone else would be on and you accidentally stumbled upon my messy ass on your Monday show.
I'm wearing this with you on. How do you not know that that's why I'm wearing it? I mean, it's not. I've been doing it for a couple weeks. But anyway, I want to reassure everyone out there that although up here things are different, I am still wearing the ratty old Under Armour sneakers that I always do. Anyway, thank you everyone for being here. JR is here on Monday. Francesca will be here on Wednesday. And just to complete the circle, Jessica Burbank tomorrow. River Butcher on Thursday, who I really need to stop referring to as River Phoenix. There's something broken in my brain. And then also Brett on Friday. So lots to look forward to when it comes to this week. Thank you for being here, filling in. Lots to talk about through the course of the show. Everyone definitely hit the like button as we jump into this thing. We've got some updates on Trubs that Ron DeSantis is experiencing in maybe the waning days of his presidential bid. Elon Musk has found a way to make his duel with Mark Zuckerberg even more juvenile than it already was. And then we've got corruption on the Supreme Court. We've got an attempt to rewrite history on the Tulsa race massacre that one would hope that as much as we've descended as a society, we would not delve into that sort of territory here. And George Santos is comparing himself to a figure from history. Just let's see if you can predict who. It's not gonna look good. It's not gonna look good at all. But anyway, with all that said, please hit the like button if you haven't already. You can send us tweets, comments, super chats, all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
I think so. I'm ready.
Oh. Also, to start off the aftermath, we're gonna be having a live interview, which should be a lot of fun. We don't often do those, but Colby Hall of Mediaite's gonna be joining us. Has been doing a lot of coverage of the new Tucker Carlson, his show on Twitter. So we're gonna be doing a little mid-mortem on that. So that should be a lot of fun. So definitely stay tuned for that. And with all that said, why don't we jump into our first topic, starting off with this.
You've done a great job pushing back against woke. We know that. But I'm wondering what's going on with your campaign. There was a lot of optimism about you running for president earlier in the year. But here's this weekend's headline from the Politico playbook. Failure to launch. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's campaign to topple Donald Trump has stalled. We are way behind, says a top DeSantis PAC official sounding the alarm. What happened?
We're stopping there for a reason, and you can probably suspect what it might be. I want to be very clear. We did not modify that in any way. Not in the audio anyway, we were reorganized things. That was his actual response to critical questions of the state of his campaign. And look, is that the most important thing about a candidate? No, objectively not. Where they stand on the policy is what matters. And I will reassure all of you, he is dog duty when it comes to that too. So I'm perfectly happy to criticize him. It's that he does not have the capacity to pretend to have charisma. Like, he's obviously not gonna genuinely be charismatic or likable or human or warm or acceptable in public or anything like that. Someone that you wanna see putting. But he can't even, after months of criticism in that particular area, he cannot even fake it. Now, to be fair, he did have more to say after whatever that laugh was. Let's take a look.
Oh, Maria, these are narratives. The media does not want me to be the nominee. I think that's very, very clear. Why? Because they know I'll beat Biden. But even more importantly, they know I will actually deliver on all these things.
Okay, so JR, I think that he is right on some of that. but not anything of consequence, or that should be of consequence to conservatives. Like when Maria Bartiromo, it's not Jeanine Pirro, Maria Bartiromo started that off. She said, "You've been great on pushing back against woke," and just said that as if it was like a full sentence, like an actual thing that an adult with half a working brain would say. But that is what he is running on. We're gonna get to some of the things that he's stressing in his campaign recently. But as much as he's having troubles in all these different areas, he really just does think that if he doubles down on hating trans people, believing the LGBTQ community should be outlawed or whatever, that that's gonna help him push through. What do you make of the current state of his campaign?
I don't know how it got to this point and they really thought this is the only thing that he should do. You talk about Maria Bartiromo's question. It was the first thing I was thinking. We know you've done a great job pushing back on woke in next sentence, but you've had a failure to launch with your campaign. It's been struggling, it's been stalling, it has been coming out of the gates. So close, you're so close. Because that first observation about how he's doing so well against woke just might be the reasons why he's stalling in his campaign and is not coming out of the blocks very well. Because what the F is that? What does that mean? Yo, you're doing so well fighting against woke by doing what? Fighting with Disney over some land? Yeah. And then trying to point out how they have this affiliation with other folks that you're supposed to hate because we've cultivated this group of hateful voters. I'm sorry, recultivated this group of hateful voters out in the open because they've always been hateful voters, but they've been in the shadows voting in a weird kind of way to make sure they don't look like the group of hateful people that are like hateful based off of their vote. But again, your namesake, Donald Trump, or your baby Trump, when you came out and based your national political career off of him, and he's the one who's brought up all these hateful people. Now he thinks that's all it takes. And he's got literally nothing else. I thought that you're supposed to have the first shot, then you get the attention. Then you come with some kind of substance, even if it's bad policy substance like most Republicans do in the first place. But this is all he's got. This is it. This is it. The media doesn't want me to beat Joe Biden. That's why I'm having a problem in the primaries with other Republicans in this primary election, because the media is determining that which Republicans, since they hate Republicans, why are they choosing Donald Trump? Yeah. Historically, they can't stand that guy.
They can't. They're learning to hate Ron DeSantis, though. It's not just, you know, people like us. It's not just the left that hates Ron DeSantis. A lot of Republicans are really frustrated with him. And we're gonna get into that in just a sec. But I do wanna let you know, in terms of like what Ron, like we're saying that Ron DeSantis is just doubling down on this stuff. But if you haven't been following the updates, look, he says that he's gonna do much better once the debates come. That's what he said to Maria Bartiromo. I got news for him, man. As bad as this is going, you do not want to be on that debate stage. It is going to be a bloodbath, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But anyway, in terms of policy, he said over the weekend, identifying Donald Trump as really being a pioneer in injecting gender ideology into the mainstream, where he was having men compete against women in his beauty pageants. I think that's totally fair game because he's now campaigning saying the opposite, that he doesn't think that you should have men competing in women's things like athletics. And ultimately, when you talk about some of the gender ideology that's being unleashed in this country, in the state of Florida, we were fighting back against that. That is absolutely disgusting. I don't think that we need to point that out. Just gross. Look, even some Republicans are pushing back against that ad that his PAC put out and promoted last week. It was grossly, I would say violently homophobic and transphobic, purposefully. They did not like accidentally fall into that. They maybe accidentally fell into a little bit of the homoeroticism of the entire thing with all of that, but I'll leave Pete Buttigieg to make that point. John, but the viciousness is intentional. They really do think that's the way forward.
I've been curious, and I'm curious your thought on this, because we saw the ad come out, log cabin Republicans, other Republicans groups that are gays against groomers, all those, they're having all these battles over that ad and what's happening. I'm curious what you think is there something different that I missed? Because they're like, we're so appalled and surprised that this homophobic ad came out from Ron DeSantis. This is the Republican platform. Every Republican candidate talks like this. What's the difference? I missed something.
Partially that it's him and the Trump people want to get rid of him. So I think that's part of it. But part of it is they still think we can do all of what we're doing in states around the country and have a little bit of plausible deniability that no, it's just about the kids. It's just about, I mean, yeah, sure, we're denying medical care to full on adults and everything, but it's just about the kids. You know, we're calling like every single gay person a groomer, but it's just about the, we're not like against gay people. They clearly are. But they want to leave room for some, like, I don't know, gay conservatives or something like that to still feel like there's a place in the party. And Ron DeSantis is really like ripping the Band-Aid off and showing like, no, this is where we're going. Like if I'm in charge, this is what the party is going to be. But anyway, he also throws out, and this is even crazy, even in the context of being a Republican, this is insane. He said, I look back at the Hunter Biden censorship, which was a huge, huge deal to happen to the 2020 election. And yet those were Donald Trump's own agencies that were colluding with big tech. I would never allow that to happen. I would fire those people immediately. So do you get what's happening here? He's saying Donald Trump colluded with big tech to censor the Hunter Biden story to tank his presidential bid. That doesn't make any sense. Like it literally, nothing there makes any sense. But these are the weird contortions that Ron DeSantis has to put himself through to try to appeal to Trump people. Like he's like more pro-Trump than Trump, I guess. But while criticizing Trump, it's just utter nonsense. And look, really fast, it's resulted in a lot of criticism from Republicans. We'll get to that in a bit. But you should know that we've been tracking the national polls and he is still down on average 32 points. That is devastating, JR.
Jeez. Well, yeah, I don't know if they're looking at that. They keep denying it. That's really a bad reality, except for I think one campaign spokesperson or maybe even the manager was saying how this is a problem and this is something we're gonna have troubles really overcoming. Yo, so you see this and you understand your approach. I'm still waiting for the play calling to change. At what point are they gonna call the audible and finally do something different? I'm still waiting, but you go on Maria Bartiromo's show and let her intro and be like, you're doing a great job against woke. Yo. That might be your problem. You're empty, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not even outside of it. There's other Republican and Democratic candidates that don't have much charisma. They have trouble really connecting to folks when they come on the campaign trail. Because selling yourself in person is hard to do sometimes. It's door-to-door salesman, except everybody's coming at you. And you got to give something else. There has to be someone that's going to advise you. Where are his advisors? I get he has issues. Where are his advisors?
Yeah, 100%. Okay, I think, look, it's bad times for him. Like we said, there's all these strategists. Ben Weber says, I think his high point was right after the last election. It looks to me people are looking at it because he's not as strong as he was before. He waited too long. Even though a lot of the Republican base would agree with him on the issues, the LGBT stuff, it looks bad. It looks like he's scapegoating a group of people. Yeah, but it looks that way because he is. That's what he's doing. And by the way, it's not like Trump is like innocent in this area. Trump is saying, like spreading misinformation about the LGBTQ community. And he did a lot of terrible stuff when he was president. This wasn't just rhetoric like DeSantis, it was actual policy. So anyway, bad choices all around in that area. We're like 5 days into Threads, the new social media site being available. It's a direct broadside against Twitter, and that is not lost on the owner of Twitter, Elon Musk. He, from the very beginning, has not been reacting well, and I would say that it has only been getting worse. He tweeted, this is a literal thing. We were sure this had to be a fake. We were being deep faked or something. No, Zuck is a cuck, like a cuckold. Someone is sleeping with Mark Zuckerberg's wife because he made a new social media platform? Like if anything, aren't we the user base sleeping with your aspirations when it comes to social? Like if anyone is the cuck in this metaphorically, is it not Elon Musk? Anyway, I'm not gonna try to make sense of what he's saying, but like you can sort of understand why he's mad. Not only because of the business stuff, as we'll get into, traffic is down on Twitter. Lots of people are signing up for Threads, but Mark Zuckerberg is less juvenile than Elon Musk, but it's not like he's not trying to pick a fight. If you take a look at this, this is his replies to people on Threads, and he is obviously doing the thing mocking Elon Musk with his little like double laughy smiley face or whatever. That's needling him or whatever. And then Elon Musk responds eventually to himself with, I propose a literal dick measuring contest. Because like ultimately, is that tweet not the entirety of Elon Musk? Is that not all of who he is? He's a really annoying, not particularly bright 8-year-old boy. That's who he is, who was given a lot, was given millions of dollars, was given every advantage, and has bumbled his way through a whole bunch of stuff. He's making right now with Twitter one of the worst business decisions, arguably in the history of our civilization. And he's not responding well to the first big challenge, the challenge that he should have seen coming, that someone with resources was gonna challenge him. And he thinks what, that he's going to win advertisers back with his dick measuring thing? That those of us who are now delighting in the possibility that his platform might fail will go back to Twitter if he just mocks Mark Zuckerberg more? I don't know, JR, what do you think?
It's outrageous. Every time you see people like this, seems like a non-political, at least campaign type political version of Donald Trump. We see him implode businesses. We see him make horrible decisions once those businesses begin to implode publicly, saying things about way he did this and how he dodged that and pulled this off. You're an idiot if you don't do the things I did, like bankruptcy. I'm the best businessman in the world. And somehow Elon Musk saw that and went, this is a good idea. And I guess maybe it's not too crazy because look, Donald Trump became president of the United States and still has millions of people that think he has a half a brain. But still, he's gone on this route. But you've bought this company that everyone's paying attention to, that many, many people use on a regular basis, and openly hitting every news headline possible how you're tanking the company. And people kept talking about how this is looking bad, bro. This is a problem. This is that and the next. And he keeps mocking everyone. And eventually, now that he's getting hurt, I assume a little bit on this, his response is this. This is your response, to go out wildly swinging, saying random things. And since I compared him to Trump, remember in the 2015 in the primaries when he went up against Trump, then went up against Marco Rubio, and they were talking on the debate stage about whose hands are bigger. And Trump was talking about, well, you know, there's no problem in that department. I'm just gonna say so right now. This is the same thing you're gonna go with, I guess. Do you think you're gonna make it to the presidency? Because it worked out for Donald Trump. But in this case, you're losing money, bro. Direct cash money that people are following and seeing. And the guy that's doing something different, which I guess enough people just wanna get the hell away from you to experience, this is your approach. If nothing else, this is a big illustration in how people with this kind of privilege and money that they did not earn have no idea how to continue using it without just pumping up their own ego. That's all he's got.
Yeah, 100%. Just really fast, I'm gonna update people on a little bit more about why he's so like stuck in his feels. Threads already passed 100 million users in 5 days. That's never before happened in history for an app. I'm sure someday some successor to TikTok will get a billion in a day, but that's pretty good. And Twitter traffic is down, not a huge amount. They said 5% for the first two full days that Threads was available. We'll see what happens as more people sign up and everything. And obviously there's still a lot of limitations to Threads. Like, you literally do not have a follower feed, a chronological feed, no DMs. I don't think you can do live video. There's the search isn't there, the trending there isn't there. Hashtags and all that. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be added, but already it's down. It's down 11% from the same day 1 year ago. So honestly, what it seems like is Threads did 5% damage and Elon Musk did 6% damage. So he's still worse than Mark Zuckerberg for them. But anyway, his ability to like get his way out of this, I'm sort of doubting, because he messages like Threads is just Instagram minus pics, which makes no sense given that thirst pics are the main reason people use that app, which is definitely saying more about him than about the rest of the user base, I think. But also, that's what Twitter is. Do you know the site that you paid $44 billion for? You don't seem to be very familiar with it. In terms of his ability to understand what it is that people want out of a platform like this, he says you will get more laughs from this app than everything else combined. But I have to warn you, don't be shocked. There's some negative stuff too. Yeah, there is. Here's the issue. You're a billionaire. The negative stuff doesn't necessarily matter to you at all, but to regular people, it can be really damaging. Can I give you an example of the negative stuff? Because I'm sure he thinks it's just that his blue check army is annoying people or whatever. Now, I'm more worried about the stuff that he does as the figurehead for the whole platform. So New York Post posted this article. TikTok brainwashed me into being transgender. Now I'm detransitioning. It's from the New York Post, so you know there's something there. Anyway, horrible, and obviously it's part of this media narrative overemphasizing detransitioning and all that, spreading massive amounts of misinformation about that. He, the richest man in the world, replies, exclamation point, exclamation point. You see, you'll have laughs on Twitter, but there's some negative stuff. Yeah, but like it's the guy who controls who is promoted on the site and who is not, who sinks, who swims, all of that. Spreading absolute nonsense on this issue especially, but plenty of other issues having to do with race and having to do with vaccines and all of those things. Using whatever platform and power and influence he has to hurt millions of people. That's not a minor thing. There's a reason that people are nearly euphoric at the idea that he might fail and Twitter might collapse at this point. That actually took work and he's continuing to put in the work every day.
My last thought here. Final thoughts. You talk about the laughs, how the laughs and everything. The laughs that they've had is what many of the blue checkers and Elon supporters are all talking about. How great it is over here. But thing is, they're very upset that people are leaving. Why is that? You can have your laughs amongst yourselves. Why not? Yo, anybody that's on Threads and you saw the things that are missing, they might be enjoying themselves more because of the lack of those things, right? But let them be. I'm sure whoever's like using Threads is fine with it. But if you guys are so happy on Twitter just being bullies and talking about people and attacking and all that stuff, have at it, bro. It's all yours. The junkyard is now yours. They need the targets. So they do need the oppositional people on from anywhere from society to politics to fight with. If they have no one to fight with, all you've got is Truth Social and Parler. That's what this is becoming now. And no, we see what's happening with those social media apps. They need angry targets. If those angry targets aren't there engaging with them, they're empty.
It's just not fun. Yeah, what are you doing at that point? You're just spreading Midjourney images of Trump with a lion and a helicopter. Like that's fun for 5 minutes, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, totally unrelated to anything. You can find both JR and myself on Threads. Actually, we're on there. The Denver Report either now or soon will also be. It is. You can be one of the first people to sign up. You know what rewards that comes with? I don't, but you should follow us anyway. We're gonna be doing stuff on there. Okay, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. Lots more to come. Don't go anywhere. Okay, I was having issues with centering myself, and now people are making jokes about whether I'm left of center. Topical political humor, everyone. Thank you. Okay, with that said, let's jump into some more important stories. Clarence Thomas somehow still finding ways to impress us with the sheer audacity of his corruption. In this particular case, it's a story that's been apparently been developing for quite a while. The New York Times has all the info on his decades-long membership in this sort of like elite group of well-to-dos. So we're gonna give you information on it. They report that Thomas has milked relationships with the rich he made through the Horatio Alger Association of Distinguished Americans, a scholarship association to benefit himself and his wife. It's a real thing, obviously. Many of you have probably heard of this before. I will just say, as a person who has never been invited to an Association of Distinguished Americans, damn, that's hoity-toity. But anyway, he's a part of it and has been for a very long time. He actually joined up just a few months, I believe, after he was added to the Supreme Court. Now look, one way that you can look at that is he is a Supreme Court justice. Thus, he is a distinguished American, so they will want him. But also, maybe they want him because dude is gonna have a lot of power over things that distinguished Americans wants to have influence over. And now they have those connections, which benefit them, but not just them. Because of those connections, Thomas and his spouse Virginia have been invited to join luxurious vacations and parties, in addition to being granted VIP access to sports events. All of this obviously having a lot to do with the Supreme Court. Thanks to the association, Thomas has rubbed elbows with the likes of Oprah Winfrey and Ed McMahon during a lavish 3-day Montana birthday party for billionaire industrialist Dennis Washington. I will apply to Dennis Washington the standard I've applied to everyone throughout my life. The longer you spend on celebrating your birthday, the more suspicious I become of the entire endeavor. 3 days is too much. Anyway, Thomas's Horatio Alger contacts, including Washington, by the way, as well as investor David Sokol, formerly of Berkshire Hathaway, helped fund a documentary that painted him in a heroic light after the premiere of an HBO movie that depicted Anita Hill during his confirmation hearings making sexual harassment allegations against Thomas. So look at that. In like popular media, he's getting criticized for a lot of concerns that people have about sexual harassment, all of what was going on in that. And then hey, this documentary all of a sudden gets produced that helps to protect his image. What a nice little benefit for this distinguished American. Sokol family also hosted Thomas and his wife at their Montana ranch and their waterfront Florida estate. All of this obviously worth thousands and thousands of dollars. None of that apparently has been reported. Previously, they had to do this investigation. The justice also declined to answer questions from the New York Times about the matter. So he's not saying anything. Neither is the Horatio Alger Foundation. A spokesperson noted that, quote, the association is not privy to the relationships that individual members have with one another. Well, look, they didn't spend decades building up this web of influence to just admit to the New York Times that it's to benefit themselves and not the country as a whole. JR, what do you think?
We talk secret societies, but this is the one of the ones that just absolutely is not a secret. So this, we live in a country where we talk about the opportunity. You have unlimited opportunity, equal opportunity. You can make it any. You can make it if you, as long as you work hard in this country. We have a scholarship situation with the Horatio. What is it, Horatio Alger situation, yeah, of distinguished Americans? So only distinguished Americans and anybody who knows these distinguished Americans can maybe get their hands or an opportunity at this scholarship. That's number one, right? So what about the other folks who aren't distinguished Americans? Or is there some kind of hierarchical system here where we have distinguished Americans that give other distinguished Americans maybe scholarships, positions? Oh, also admissions into college, that thing that the Supreme Court just shot down for other folks who are always overlooked. Yep. And matter of fact, weaponized against to being kept down from getting those same opportunities. Oh, this same guy who's a part of it, Clarence Thomas, also was admitted into Harvard Law because of that. Was it Harvard he went to? Law, because of those opportunities that then he pulled the chair out from other folks. This is the distinguished American we're talking about. But outside of that, which we've discovered from multiple Supreme Court justices, it's not just scholarships that distinguished Americans give to each other. They also give opportunities for jobs, money, yep, trips, vacations. Oh, and in those things the Supreme Court decides. Oh, cases that maybe involve some of those other distinguished Americans, they continue to keep other non-distinguished Americans under their boot. This is the distinguished American club we've been talking about. And there's all kinds of folks that aren't just people that we generally dislike in political circles that are involved in this whole thing, openly and in front of our faces. And when people step up and say, we need to start giving people who don't have opportunities a chance, they go, how dare you try and do something, yeah, for these low-life loser Americans that do nothing but suck off the teat of America. It's so open and blatant. I'm not sure why we haven't seen it yet. And there hasn't been people uprising against it and going, when are we gonna stop giving everything we have, our hard-earned dollars and blood, sweat, and tears to the distinguished Americans that keep taking away our rights, our money, and honestly, our opportunities to get somewhere. And then when you don't get there, you know what they say about you? You're a piece of garbage. You're a black person. You're Latino. You're gay. Those are the reasons why you suck, not us keeping our boot on your neck. It's disgusting. I can't believe we're still buying this.
You know, JR, you seem like so frustrated that I have to assume that you think that like nothing bad is gonna come of this for Clarence Thomas. You seem to think that like, no, this is a bombshell. This is the latest of many bombshells. Do you think he's just gonna be able to just ignore this? Because I do.
Yeah. I don't know where I would get that.
It's absolutely absurd. Like, man, when I think about like the scandals that have taken down people in politics in past years, nothing matters these days. Literally nothing. You can do anything. The corruption can be so obvious. And for some reason, the newfound swelling of anti-elite sentiment on the right, they don't care about this. They're not interested at all. This is not the deep state, by the way. Clarence Thomas being a part of the Horatio Alger Society for Distinguished Americans or whatever is not the deep state. It's not a concern. It's not the elites. It's nothing. I mean, it's massive eldritch machinery designed to grind you and other working class Americans down into a fine paste, but it's nothing to be worried about. That's what I'm learning. Anyway, as terrible as that is, we have some more absurd news to get to. There is light stuff coming. Don't worry. That'll be coming soon. Let's jump into this next topic. Oklahoma's superintendent, a man named Ryan Waters, has insisted that one of the most notorious, one of the most tragic events in American history, the Tulsa race massacre, apparently doesn't have much at all to do with race. Take a look at this.
Tulsa race massacre not fall under your definition of CRT?
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't address that part. I would never tell a kid that because of your race, because of your color of your skin or your gender or anything like that, you are less of a person or are inherently racist. That doesn't mean you don't judge the actions of individuals. Oh, you can absolutely, historically you should. This was right. This was wrong. They did this for this reason. But to say it was inherent in the because of their skin is where I say that is critical race theory. You're saying that a race defines a person. I reject that. So I would say you be judgmental of the issue, of the action, of the content, of the character of the individual. Absolutely. But let's not tie it to the skin color and say that the skin color determined that.
How does the Tulsa race massacre not fall under your definition of CRT?
I answered it. That's my answer. And again, I felt
the
like
Tulsa race massacre was a race massacre. How does it not fall under CRT?
I've answered your question. I do appreciate it. Very respectful.
Yeah, definitely confident of the answer because of the pacing, the awkward, nervous pacing. Yeah, that was terrible. That was absolute. Yeah, I want to swear, but I can't. So I'll just say it was bad. They seem to look. They think that they have landed on a line that really works, and I think for some conservative white Americans, it does. I will never say that because of your skin, you're inherently racist, and for some reason, teaching honestly about what the Tulsa race massacre was, why it mattered, that would be saying that because of your race, you're inherently racist. Like, the thing about that is, it seems reasonable to say we should not teach people that because of their race, they are inherently racist. Here's the interesting thing. Nobody says that we should do that, and it's not a thing that's actually happening. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting increasingly frustrated being told what my opinions and views are as a Democrat or as a leftist or as a progressive or whatever, and having the right run against some sort of absolutely fictional, made up fairy tale metaverse version of what we believe or what teachers do or what doctors say or any of it. None of it's true. I would love to reacquaint them with reality so that we can have some sort of productive conversation about politics, or also maybe about something that really shouldn't be all that controversial that we accept the truth of, like the Tulsa race massacre.
This is the political talk that they've been pushing whenever they're talking about teaching our history and the things that we've done and come from and all that. So once we're talking CRT, this is the problem that they now have to deal with. Oh, so we have to exclude race from these things that are perfectly obviously based off of race. Yo, you can talk about, I'm gonna tell these kids because of their race that they're inherently bad. Again, very nice straw man you've got there. It's the only way you can argue your way out of this is to create something that no one else is arguing with you about. But he did mention, we have to talk about the issues, the action, the content. The issues, the action, the content of the Tulsa race massacre was bunch of folks ran up in it because these were black folks. And there was another accusation from a young black man doing something disrespectful to a white woman. We've heard that before because it happened countless times. And who did they target? Did they target white folks? I'm just curious. Did they target Asian folks? Did they target Latinos? Did they target indigenous folks? Who did they target based off of this false accusation like they did many other times? Which black churches did they target? Oh, I'm sorry. Were those black churches they targeted specifically with Klansmen and burning crosses on people's lawns and running people out of houses and lynching people with picnics around and having a nice good old afternoon about it? Is any of that based off of nothing with race? The way to get out of this and actually say you want something different for the country is to acknowledge where we've been and how we get to a better place. But if they do that, they have to continue to acknowledge that we haven't gone as far as they'd like to tell us. What they want people to do is shut the F up and not talk about this anymore. So that creating this scenario of, look how far we've come. Let's not talk about how far we haven't actually come. Let's just say we've come so far and create a few straw men to act like we've gotten there. They keep doing it over and over and over again. And the more people actually give them the real history of what we've done in this country, that's when they get more uncomfortable. And I already answered the question. I tried BSing my way through your answer. I still haven't made anything yet, but I can't talk about this anymore because if I continue to talk about it, you guys will discover that I'm just trying to cover up what I do know. This has everything to do with race, and nobody's telling your kindergartner that because they're a little white girl that suddenly they're a racist. We're talking about the people in their past, maybe their great grandparents that did this stuff, and maybe they can be better Americans because of it. But we apparently don't want to teach that at all.
Yeah, 100%. Just speaking reasonably, but these are not reasonable people. I mean, look, with enough pushback, you can get them to accept a little bit of the truth. Someone learned something from this, and that would be Ryan Walters. Superintendent had to respond after, you know, uproar over what he said. Said, let me be crystal clear that history should be accurately taught, except in Florida. The Tulsa race massacre is a terrible mark in our history. The events of that day were racist, evil, and it is inexcusable. Individuals are responsible for their actions and should be held accountable. Kids should never be made to feel bad or told they're inferior based on the color of their skin. Again, no one is doing that.
We used
that
to, though.
That was your apology.
Sorry.
No one is doing that. Why do you believe that accurately understanding American history teaches kids that they're inherently bad? Do you not feel that to continually claim that a thing is happening, you should at some point provide a little bit of evidence that it's happening? Have you considered that, that this is an actual problem that you're addressing rather than just something that you made up during your incredibly defensive response to your, again, I want to swear, terrible answer on the Tulsa race massacre? Jesus. By the way, we unfortunately don't have time to do it justice, but just to give an idea of why it is so important sometimes to teach things that might seem far removed and historical, but still have effects today. There are people who are still alive who experienced it and are looking for reparations. In one case, a judge dismissed their call for compensation. You can see here in this photo, three individuals now older than 100 years old who personally experienced this have received nothing. If you believe that this event was so reprehensible and evil and unacceptable and inexcusable, then maybe making good at least a little bit for the lifetime of trauma that these and many other people experience would be a good call. Can you imagine if it had been a mob of black people that had killed 300 white Americans? Would Tucker Carlson literally ever stop talking about it? But we're supposed to stop talking about this. We're supposed to just hope that HBO does a good version of it, because that's the only way most Americans are actually gonna find out about it. Any final thoughts, Sherry?
Yeah, one more, because look, we talk about reparations, these three survivors of this whole thing, as far as monies and things coming back to people who were victimized in this country in our past. So you have to ignore the past, or else that can't be a thing. That's part one. But if it's not based off of money, or if they're always talking about they just want some money, why is it that these terrorists that ran up in Tulsa and did this back in the day, why is it that they targeted financial centers? Why is it that they targeted the richest, wealthiest part about this black community? They were thinking about money, and they definitely wanted to strip this community of that economic system that they had in place. Why go after money? Because it didn't start with the folks that are talking about getting it back now or being paid back for the things that were stolen from them. But when it happened, they were thinking money, the terrorists were. So suddenly we disconnected from the money. They started it.
Yeah, 100%. Anyway, we've done videos on the actual history before. You should definitely watch those, as well as other people's work. It is something that every American needs to understand, so that you understand our country, not so that you feel inherently inferior, whatever BS they're making up. Okay, we've got more to talk about. We're gonna take a short little break, come back. George Santos attempting to defend himself and making himself look even worse after this. Okay, lots more to get to. By the way, I did want to respond to a super chat from Jenna Nix, who says, talk about your mods leaving. So some people might be aware, others might not be, that a lot of our mods on YouTube have resigned for a number of different reasons, raising a number of different concerns, including disagreements with some of the things that have been talked about on the network, the way they've been talked about it, as well as labor issues as well. Everybody knows how amazing the team was and is for literally years, creating, I think, indisputably some of the best places to watch and talk about content. Hopefully everybody is, you know, continuing to talk about them and address them with respect for the work that they did. The fact that they're living their values. They are living the values that we talk about. And so, you know, nothing but respect and admiration for everything that was done. Okay, with that, we have more news to talk about. So why don't we jump into it, starting with this?
They come for me, I go right back for them, because I think for far too long they've gotten away with getting along to get along. So no, it's not going to stay that way anymore. I'm going to call them out. You want to call me a liar? I'll call you a sellout. I mean, Mitt Romney, the man goes to the State of the Union of the United States wearing a Ukraine lapel pin, tells me, a Latino gay man, that I shouldn't sit in the front, that I should be in the back. Well, guess what? Rosa Parks didn't sit in the back, and neither am I going to sit in the back.
Yeah, I don't think that he needed to go to that. I don't think that George, I mean, look, is it the worst thing that George Santos has said? No. Is it in the top 10? I'll let you be the judge. JR, I don't like other than comparing yourself like to Jesus, Rosa Parks, really? That's where you need to take this. What do you think?
Well, there's another thing too. It's always some particular name. You know, they compare themselves to Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, because those are the only folks they ever learned about. But then, of course, I'm not going to be in the back. He finds this metaphor because the whole basis is when Romney told him you should sit in the back and not embarrass yourself by showing your face here, because we now know who all these things you told about yourself just to get elected. Fine, but again, maybe it's good advice, bro. Just saying, this is for your sake. Yes, of course, Romney was saying, get the hell out of here. We don't want you. So it was disrespectful. But the whole point is maybe take the advice of maybe sitting in the back and chilling for a second while things maybe even blow over. It might be actually good advice for his career since so many other things are happening. But he goes on TV and goes on this rant. I'm not sure if the host of that show asked him about it, because again, this was something from months ago, right? This is something you probably don't want to bring back up so people can go, oh yeah, that's right. George Santos, we almost forgot about you for a second. You're the guy who was lying the entire time before you got into office. And then once you're in office, we discovered all these things about you, including the fact that you were dressing in drag. Of course, your entire party talks about how that's evil and anybody who does that is going to hell. And actually, if they also have done that in the past, they're some kind of mole in the government and they're looking to indoctrinate your kids and steal them out from their beds in the middle of the night. All that stuff is said, but then you still put your face in front of cameras and talk about how I'm like Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
I don't know who's advising these guys.
Look, one of the reasons I want to talk about this was people need to remember that as of right now, at least, George Santos, despite all of this, is still a congressman. Like, he is, from his perspective, winning at this. Now, he is under investigation for a number of different things, both ethics on the congressional side and criminal investigations as well. But as of right now, he's winning, and that is unacceptable. Again, reminder that there are so many different areas where people's attention is needed to get people like this out of politics. I also did want to say, though, I sort of just said that he's comparing himself to Rosa Parks, assuming that everybody understands that reference. I guess I should stop doing that at some point in America with the state of our education system and what Republicans are doing in a number of different areas. I just want to remind people, in 1955, Parks famously defied a bus driver's order to vacate a seat in the colored section of the bus in favor of a white passenger. That helped to inspire the bus boycott. I also want to point out, just in case any superintendents of Oklahoma are watching, that had to do with race. It was a part of it, actually. And that should be taught, I think. And I don't think that in teaching that, we're teaching people to feel that they are inherently inferior to anyone else, just to clarify. Okay, with that said, unfortunately, the hour is rapidly passing, and we do have a very important story to end this hour with. So let's jump into that. I really hope that everyone watching this is already familiar with the story, but I fear that that will not be the case. At least 300 migrants on three different ships traveling from Senegal to Spain are now missing. Those boats have gone missing. It is considered a particularly deadly section of sea for migrant travel in boats like this. There's been no contact with the boats since their departure. They departed on June 23rd. And so what hope might remain is obviously in, you know, short supply at this point. Two boats had about 100 people together. Another had about 200 people on them. Spain's Maritime Rescue Service said that a plane had spotted a vessel. Obviously, these people have been on the boat for a really long time at this point. Like, you know, the idea that theoretically the amount of supplies that might be on there, it's a devastating story. And the thing is, we know that when the Titanic submersible thing was going around, there was a devastating loss of a ship where many, many people lost their lives. And one would think that that at least would force, not forever with the state of our media, but like briefly, that people would sort of open up their mind a little bit and feel like maybe forced to at least pretend to care about things that they don't necessarily care that much or didn't previously. And yet, more and more of these ships are being lost, many, many times, 100 times as many people as were on the submersible, potentially being lost. We'll see what ends up happening with the sighting, you know, of a boat, or maybe they can sight all three of the boats. But even if somehow, miraculously, all of these many desperate people are recovered, there are still thousands of people that are going to die this year. And that is a pattern that is going to be repeated for years until something is finally done. And one would hope that the submersible thing might help us to break through some of the media narratives. And we're getting an update now. Ashley, did you put that in? 86 people. Oh no, Mike did. Okay, 86 people have been saved. That's still obviously a small percentage of the total number of people on these boats. But okay, that is good news. Hey, a miraculous rescue. Maybe that'll lead to a little bit more media coverage, JR. What do you think?
I mean, as long as there's a camera, I guess, then maybe they can see it. It looks all heroic. But the thing is, they have to determine whether or not people would be happy to see that. And look, we've been conditioning our society to hate anyone who's looking to escape a worse condition if they come from particular countries, because we've been told by many of our politicians that they're coming to steal your jobs, your life, your money, your children, all these other things. So there's the hate baked into it. By the way, there's slurs for certain folks based off of these kind of very dangerous voyages. This is the response we have for people who are less fortunate. But when, you know, we talked about the submarine that went down, there was, of course, there was people making fun of it, but those people doing it, there was a lot of pushback going, yo, this is real life humans. But which humans do we actually value? I think it's been illustrated, man.
Yeah, 100%. Well, here's the tragic reality. While the media has often failed on these sorts of issues, tragically, they will have more opportunities. There's always time, hopefully, to develop the next time tragically people are lost in this way. Anyway, great work to the people who helped save them. Hopefully, there will still be consideration and aid, you know, after they've been saved. With that said, unfortunately, we are up against the end of our first hour. Thank you, everyone. We've got more to come in the aftermath. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody. I'm just joshing you about the birthday stuff. If you like to celebrate your birthday for a while, it's okay. I'm just teasing. And I mostly, I've only known one or two people that make it into like a multi-week event. And I think that that's a little bit much, but you do you. I'm perfectly fine with that. Okay, Fascist Kill has been here for 33 months on Twitch. Says, I love when Double J is on the mic. John and JR, 33 months and counting. The damage port doing damage to the status quo. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Much appreciated. Mr. Unknown says the damage is done. No, I've lost everyone on the birthdays. I will give dispensations to anyone watching right now to celebrate their birthday for up to and including 72 hours if you hit the like button. Anyway, with that said, Trunk Davis had a suggestion for the new graphics test that we're doing right now. Says they should divide John and JR into six squares like the Brady Bunch. That's not bad. I like that. I like that. Anyway, we're working on things. We're gonna iterate, and it's a test, everybody. It's a test. A lot of people are putting a lot of thought and time into it. We'll see what happens. A lot of good people. Tahira Kathleen's been here for 27 months. It's 27 months anniversary. Thank you for being here for those 27 months. Much appreciated. Hold on. Shu says I just got a Charlie Kirk ad on this. That sucks. I wish that we had some minimal control over those ads, but we don't. There's been worse stuff than Charlie Kirk advertised on our thing. Also a reminder, by the way, those right-wing networks have so much money that they can run ads all over the place. Have you ever seen a Daily Report ad on Charlie Kirk's show? No, because we don't get handed millions of dollars to do that sort of stuff. It would be great. Would love to spread the word, but anyway. Apparently, if this were the Brady Bunch, they want me to be in the Cindy Square. I got nothing against Cindy. Why does it always have to be Marsha, Marsha, Marsha? What about Cindy, Cindy, Cindy? That's what I'm saying. The IT Dragon says, I celebrate my birthday for a week because I'm a degenerate hedonist. Understood. Let's mark that down. Okay, wait, hold up. JFMEHL81 says, today is last day to register for Ohio August special election to raise threshold to amend constitution. Yes, I'm very glad that you're talking about that. So basically, they're trying to make it more difficult for voters to weigh in on these sorts of things where the legislature knows that they're dead wrong and the people don't agree with them. So everyone, no on issue one, today's the last day to register if you're in the area. Reminder, yes, we are talking a lot about the presidential election and we will be more and more as time goes on, as well as lots more races as the candidates get set. That said, there are a lot of really important ballot initiatives and different measures and things like that. Amendments to state constitutions. The right is trying to make gains in this culture war that they've started at all different levels, and everybody needs to be aware of it. We don't, our political attention cannot start and stop at the presidential race. There's so much more ground to pay attention to. Okay, Blaze Monkey says, I saw a Michelle Obama podcast ad on Fox News, money well spent. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I would like to see a damage report one. But anyway, Left Loon says, I know people who celebrate their birthday for a whole month. That seems like too much. Am I wrong? Am I the bad guy on this? What are people, can we get a poll on Twitch? Anyway, Okay, let's see. Burning the Kiwi Dragon says, hi, John and JR. John, I hope you're feeling better. How's your throat? Did you know men in Bermuda wear shortened trousers as business wear? Just an idea for the summer, like your hat, JR. I will consider it. I used to advocate for shorts in the office back when we had an office where people were at, and I generally was considered crazy. So, yeah.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.